This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Epilepsy is the most common serious neurological disorder in the elderly after stroke and dementia. But it's often overlooked or even misdiagnosed. We'll hear with more on this as Dr. Rebecca O'Dwyer. She's a clinical instructor and an epilepsy fellow with the Department of Neurology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. O'Dwyer. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Linda.
So let's begin by reminding our listeners, what exactly is a seizure and what is epilepsy?
Great. So a seizure is a clinical manifestation of abnormal and excessive electrical activity in the brain, in the set of neurons in the brain. So when these neurons start firing aberrantly, we see these clinical manifestations kind of on the outside.
And the clinical manifestations are, give me some examples.
So I think traditionally we all think of that person who's convulsing with jerking and shaking of the limbs. And that is by far the most dramatic manifestation that we see. But the brain is, the brain can manifest many different behaviors that are also seizures. So it can be something very subtle, like the inability to talk or just staring off. It could also be confusion, especially in the elderly. It can be just that they appear to be confused.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about some of the symptoms and why that makes it harder to diagnose in the elderly. But the fact is, a seizure is some kind of, as you said, aberrant or unpredictable or not
correct
normal behavior in the brain.
Yes.
That kind of comes upon someone and then they react, and usually more moving their arms, their legs, jerking, some kind
exactly
of behavior.
Exactly.
But how... You can have a seizure, but not necessarily have epilepsy.
Correct.
So explain the difference.
So everybody in their life is allowed one unprovoked seizure. And an unprovoked seizure is basically a seizure that usually has no precipitance, in the sense that there is no chronic underlying disorder. So let me give you an example. Sometimes when we have low sugar levels in our blood, we can have a seizure. Even if we're not diabetic. And that would be what we would consider a provoked seizure. And there's a reason why our brain is reacting to a condition in our body. That doesn't normally predispose us to developing epilepsy. To have epilepsy, you have to have two unprovoked seizures.
But the tendency to be diagnosed with epilepsy is that you might have repeated or periodic
exactly
unprovoked seizure activity.
Exactly.
And then you have that diagnosis that this is more of a disorder.
Exactly. That it's a chronic disease that develops over time.
So tell me about the incidence of seizures and epilepsy in the elderly. I mean, clearly it's the most common, as we said, after stroke and dementia. That means it must be happening a fair amount. How many people, or what's the percentage that you would estimate?
So most recent studies are estimating 1-2% of people of 65 or older actually have seizures and epilepsy.
Who did not have it before they reached that age?
Correct, yes. So when we think about epilepsy, often our perception, and I think this is the public and physicians alike, is that it's a disease that presents itself younger in life, so in childhood or early adulthood. But actually, it has a bimodal distribution.
Bimodal means it can occur, there are big amounts that occur at an early age, and there seem to be large amounts now that are occurring at an older age.
Exactly. And, you know, we often overlook that people develop seizures later in life, in the elderly years.
And that seems to be the problem. That it's often overlooked, and we're going to get to why is it, and also I just want to, a sidebar here is that the impact and the burden of this is going to only increase as our population ages.
Correct.
And so if it's little understood or little expected, it makes it even more problematic.
Yes. So I think if you look at the last census in 2010, roughly 13.7% of our population is 65 or older, and the prediction is by 2030, 19% of our 19% of our population will be 65 or older. There's a recent study from Finland that actually shows that childhood epilepsy is on the decline, and epilepsy in the elderly is on the rise.
Wow. So, why is it so hard to diagnose? We've been implying that there is something different about how it looks in old age, older age, than it does in childhood.
So I think this goes back to what I was talking about earlier, where our general perception of a seizure is that that patient convulsing on the floor, on the ground. But in the elderly, often the seizures manifest themselves in very subtle ways. And for instance, just last week, I saw a lady who, while she was having her seizure, she was talking, she stopped talking, she stared off. And then with her right hand, she started to dab the side of her mouth as if she was wiping her mouth with a napkin after eating. And this went on for about a minute. So as you can imagine, something very subtle. And sometimes we miss it, physicians and family members alike.
Also, is there some danger that it can, that is an importance of distinguishing it from potentially more serious diseases that it mimics? For example, there are other life-threatening diseases like cardiac arrhythmias that can look a little bit like some of these behaviors.
That's absolutely correct. So there is something that we call convulsive syncope. So it's not unusual that when somebody faints, towards the end of the faint, they can have some jerks. So it kind of looks like the more quote-unquote traditional seizure. And it is important that when somebody loses consciousness, especially in the elderly, that they go see a cardiologist, because there could be some underlying harsh arrhythmia problem. The heart isn't beating the regular way it should be.
So the point is, these symptoms that we see in the elderly could be caused by any number of things, but epilepsy is not often the one that they think of.
Correct.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with neurologist Dr. Rebecca O'Dwyer. We're talking about seizures in the elderly. So do we know what causes these seizures in the elderly?
So the recent studies have shown that over 50% of epilepsy is actually caused by strokes. So kind of a secondary manifestation of a stroke would then be a seizure that can then go on where the patient actually develops epilepsy. And I think after stroke, the next most common cause for epilepsy are tumors, metabolic disorders, and also neurodegenerative diseases. So actually 10% of all patients with Alzheimer's also have epilepsy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a very little known fact.
Mm-hmm.
How about things, you know, the seniors are often falling and sometimes incur injury to their brain that maybe goes undiagnosed.
I think that's an excellent point. So often in the elderly, what for you or I would be just, you know, a fall and you hit your head and we get ourselves up and we walk on with our lives, often in the elderly who are on blood thinners can actually sustain a bleed to their brain. So it's called a subdural hemorrhage.
Subdural hematoma or
correct,
a subdural hemorrhage.
Yes. And that is often associated with seizures as well.
So then after that, they can develop seizures. And then does it really become an ongoing disorder like epilepsy?
It can.
So how serious is this problem? I mean, what can it lead to? Is it life-threatening?
So there are certain instances where it can become life-threatening. I think there is one clinical condition that's called non-convulsive status epilepticus. So that's a long, big, wordy way of basically saying that the brain is seizing and is seizing continually.
And wow.
It's a medical emergency. Often in younger patients, they have what we call convulsive status epilepticus. And that is, again, where you physically see the person shaking, jerking.
So you know it's happening.
Unfortunately, with the elderly, they often present with just days of confusion, of getting lost, of maybe speaking in jumbled words, not making sense. And we know from studies that status epilepticus has a higher morbidity the older the patient is.
So people can really die from this if it's not diagnosed properly.
Correct.
So how do you diagnose it?
So it's a difficult disease to diagnose because unless we're capturing the brain waves of the patient as they are actively seizing, we don't really always see conclusive evidence that they have epilepsy or that they're having electrical seizures in their brain.
But it's done with the traditional EEG?
Correct.
Electroencephalography?
Electroencephalogram.
Right.
Yes. So what that basically does is we put small electrodes onto the scalp of the patient and we measure their brain waves.
And do they ever do an EKG as well to try to determine if there are problems with the heart that may be also at fault here?
They do. And I think part of the workup in an elderly patient where you suspect seizures, you should always send them also to a cardiologist and to get that EKG and to rule out any heart problems.
So once you've determined, if you've determined or you have a strong suspicion that this patient is experiencing some seizure disorder, some seizure activity, what are some of the options for treatment? What do you do?
So here's where we have some good news. So with the elderly, usually it's pharmacologically treated.
So medications.
Medications. And studies have shown that epilepsy in the elderly is much easier to treat.
So it's more responsive.
It's more responsive in comparison to younger people, which is good. There is an art to it, though, because we know, I think it's a general problem when you deal with elderly patients that they are on many, many different medications for many different things and their interactions. And so you have to be smart and you have to look at each patient individually and choose the right anti-epileptic for them.
So how does it affect, very briefly, their lifestyle and, you know, epilepsy, especially either whether it's diagnosed or not, how can it affect, I mean, obviously it could lead to continued issues of depression and all kinds
Correct.
Of things.
So there is actually a higher rate of depression amongst the elderly with epilepsy in comparison to people of their same age. And this
really?
Is a big problem. I think epilepsy at any age is an isolating disease. There are
states. Because you're never sure.
You're never sure when you're going to have your next seizure. And that's actually one other point. In younger people, they usually have an aura, and which is like a prodrome symptom. They know a seizure is coming. In the elderly, that's often missing. I think also the not being allowed to drive, this constant fear, when am I going to have one? And there's just certain lifestyle changes. You know, you can't ever take a shower again on your own. You can't work at a hearth on your own
safety. There really needs to be a lot of support. And a therapeutic team approach is very, very important.
Correct.
Which you do offer, I guess.
Yes, so at Upstate, we now are offering a geriatric epilepsy clinic. Yeah. And it's to tie in all of these loose ends, because it really does need a team approach to make the person's life the most enjoyable that we can make it.
So bottom line is, we really think that both practitioners and family members or anyone who's involved with care of the elderly really needs to understand that epilepsy could be going on and a contributing factor.
Correct. Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it so much. Very enlightening. My guest has been Dr. Rebecca O'Dwyer. She's a clinical instructor and epilepsy fellow with the Department of Neurology at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.